the men have spread out. Just saying.
Don't do that.
Shoved in the corner, I'm just saying. Very sexist.
Before they sign on the panel.
Oh, no, we're gonna make you listen.
Thank you. All right, looks like the gang is all here.
Get started?
Yep.
So new members of public, it's the TRI committee meeting. I'm Chris Brown with the Chasing Companies. And we have an agenda in front of us. I apologize, I did not. We have a couple of new members that didn't print extra copies, but I'll run through our agenda and then we'll get started. So it's a busy day. You should have received a couple emails from me, minutes from our last conversation, meeting back in January, which was largely an overview of activities that we had completed to bring new participants in the committee up to speed. Our second item is an update on the DOS master agreement, and we do have an update, which is great. I have, and this is kind of to address the agenda item itself, there's an annual report in front of you, so it's a bound document, and we'll touch on what's in that. We'll quickly run through project status for the three what we'll call active projects at this point, and then items 5 and 6 are really can be combined, and we'll talk about the Dunn warehouse project. So I don't know, did everybody get the January meeting summary? I don't know what the committee or ask Tom what the committee's been doing with those, whether we formally adopt them or they're just part of the record, but I know there's an interest in making sure all that information is posted to the website. Sir?
That was up to the previous mayor and his assistant, so I don't know if they did it, but
okay.
It's up to you now.
Yeah, so the past agendas and minutes are not website, to my knowledge.
Okay.
But I did create a section of new pages on the website. I'm pretty sure if you just type in cityofhudson.org/DRI, it'll redirect to the section. So I started putting in documents, and that there's a page that it's like there's a link to a page that says something like DRI documents, and it has the meeting summary that you had emailed out.
Right.
It has today's agenda, and I think you also had sent a couple other documents about the Dunn project.
Right.
And so relevant ones I put on that site as well.
Terrific. I'll continue to make sure that. I mean, we distribute them, but make sure that you're getting them so that you can do that posting. Is that fair? Okay.
Yeah, and I think as a matter of course, we could just sort of internally, if there's something in those minutes that somebody doesn't agree with or feels like needs to be edited, we can take care of that in between meetings.
Okay, terrific. I'm going to jump ahead to the annual report, so because that kind of follows this information available for the public. This is draft. And I have extra copies that I can leave with you, Mayor Michael. What it is it's not a particular format that's been dictated by the Department of State. There's a quarterly and annual reporting that they require us to do, which we haven't had to do because we haven't had a contract. So, but now we'll have that obligation. So in advance of that, we thought because of the milestone of the year, new membership, that we would put together this. And so it's really quite brief. And the front section is 7 pages that talks about the origin of the DRI program, the 5 public projects, key activities that we've undertaken, the committee has undertaken. And by that, we do a quick summary of each meeting that was conducted during the year, like 2 or 3 sentences about what occurred at that meeting. And then we also note that the 2 RFPs that were issued, one for Promenade Hill Park and one for the Bridge District. And then there's a note on the DOS master agreement and a note on the Dunn Warehouse stabilization. And that's unique because Dunn Warehouse is funded by both the DRI and another grant. And then attachment A are all the agendas and meeting summaries. Attachment B are the 2 RFQs, RFPs. And then the last piece there aren't meeting minutes for one of the meetings because it was largely a PowerPoint, so there's a copy of that PowerPoint that's in there. So it should be a pretty good record if you review it and there's something that's missing or needs to be changed, let us know, we'll amend that. We'll send you a PDF version so you can post that, okay?
Great.
And I have extra copies I can, I'll leave with you guys on it. So that's the annual report. So that was item three. Item two on the agenda was a DOS master contract. I got an email a little after 12 o'clock from Jamie Ethier at DOS.
Yeah.
I think, Michael, you or Mayor, you've been in contact?
Yeah. I reached out along with Assemblyman Barrett, and the agreement was signed by DOS and was also signed by the comptroller. They said that, you know, when we're ready for the payments to go out, just to reach out.
So Jamie emailed me, goes, hey, as of January 13th, that must have happened, the contract signed, and so he immediately sent me the paperwork to do the reporting that's required, so we have to give them a progress report. So we'll that's our one of our, you know, our role, Chazen's role is kind of function as a project manager, meaning help the city, by way of review, help the city prepare the RFPs, RFQs, help the city go through a consultant selection project for each of the five projects, and then do the grant administration and reporting. And so that now it's started. So we will prepare the required reporting, and then there's a draw request. And so we have been invoicing the city. We'll package those and make that draw request. And it's a collaboration, so we'll, before we issue it, we'll send it to the city for review, and then we'll process it.
My understanding, there was a timeline that the projects were on. Did they send you any information about how that's going to change?
I haven't seen anything yet. So it was just an email. He didn't send me the agreement per se. Did he say, hey, we have
expedited? No, I mean, this was before.
Okay.
Like there, I guess there was like a 2-year period or something like that when projects were supposed to be started and finished.
I think it's like extended, given the initial deadlines that their initial deadlines set, and they probably need to be extended given where we are now.
Okay.
Just in the contract.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll look at that. We'll make sure everybody's aware of what those dates are and ask for that extension. I know it's funny, we've been a year at this waiting for the contract, and they're anxious for us to do work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
great.
We'll see if we can't come to terms. So that's that. Project status, and this is just very briefly on Promenade Hill Park, and this is repeating what was heard probably last month, is that Promenade Hill Park, the city has actually, the committee made a selection, passed that recommendation on to the city. City Council passed a resolution end of December, I think December 27th, something like that. And we've held off on putting Star White House, which is the consultant's contract in front of you, until such time as we have DOS contract.
Right.
So now what we'll do is we'll dust it off, we'll ask Star White House for a schedule, and they are anxious to proceed. They need to do survey, and you know, if they can schedule a survey, if there's no snow on the ground, all the better. And then that Rob will talk about what that means to DPW support. So that'll be forthcoming in the next couple of weeks.
Can we have that in time for the February meetings, in any chance? February
council?
So is the second Monday is the informal, and the third Tuesday is the formal? Yeah.
Well, I think council's already acting.
Oh, okay. You don't need to,
so it just authorizes the mayor
to
sign.
Oh, okay.
Great. The Edison's is fine. The second, Bridge Street, no action's been taken. The committee made a recommendation and forwarded that recommendation to city council, and that was to engage Arterial and the Arterial's team. This is a much bigger project compared to the Promenade Hill Park.
So did you say it was forwarded to Andy?
I believe so, and I'll check my trail. And
did he get anything back to you?
That I'm not clear, because it always, so we would make a request, and so we should understand that we should all try to get a common understanding. We should make that request and forward it to Council President and...
So the same thing we did with STAR.
Okay. And then I'm not sure, Cheryl, where that is. That was the intent, but because of the stall and the contract, I'm not sure actually whether a resolution was crafted or not. I'll check my email.
I would also wonder procedurally, since the Star White House one was approved by the prior council and not executed by the prior mayor, whether it needs to be approved by the new council. Because supposedly you can't tie the hands of the council. It'd be one thing if the contract had been executed, but since it wasn't.
They did that with a police contract 2 years ago. It was signed by the next mayor, approved by the mayor before. Same thing. Okay, shouldn't have been done.
She's saying in this instance, last year's council approved it, but last year's mayor did not execute.
Oh.
But last year's council authorized last year's mayor to execute.
Yeah.
Right, and she didn't do it.
Sure. So now, well, I guess we'll redo it.
So we can do that. So
the same resolution.
I'll provide you with what I have.
Just a
do-over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same resolution.
Yeah.
So for February.
Yeah.
Do you need me to do something to affect that then?
No.
Redo this.
Okay.
You can.
Yeah. Jeff will do it.
I mean, right, sorry. But it's in December's minutes. I mean, December's. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll move forward.
Okay.
And then for the Bridge District, we'll need to sort of coordinate whether or not a contract needs to be finalized.
Well, so I don't believe
City of the Way. I mean, was an excellent, the same issue, even if it did go before last year's council. Rick didn't execute it, so it's the same thing.
Is the sense, though, that the contract is ready to be executed?
No. You need a resolution authorizing the engagement of the consultant. So it needs to mirror the same resolution that was done for Promenade Hill. And then once that's done, then we would work to prepare a contract with the consultant. So.
Because we're like 2 or 3 months ahead with Star White House thing. We went through that, got to the point where it was, we forwarded it to the council for recommendation, and then we started the Bridge District project and went through that process. So there's like a 2 or 3 month lead on Pony Hill. Pony Hill is totally ready to go.
So I'll check what I have, any correspondence I have with Andy. If there was a resolution, if not, I'll confirm it was not. Confirm what I have in my hands, and then we'll correspond with you all.
Okay.
Terrific. Dunn Warehouse, and I think the short-term repairs. Bob, if you want to speak to that.
Yes, so we put an RFP out the beginning of January, maybe in December or November. Anyway, so we did a. I have a list of contractors. I reached out to 18 of them. Six basically no response. Six responded saying thank you for considering me, but I'm either too busy or usually too busy. Six did ask for plans. We had another two that emailed the office requesting plans. So there were 8 plan holders. And we also had a construction database company, I can't remember which one it was, that asked for a copy so they could post it for them to their phone. So, we did have a good cross-section of those interested in it, and on bid day, we had received 0 responses. So, that said, I reached out with a local roofing company, Paragon, who's all around Hudson all the time, and gave them a copy because they didn't respond either. Nobody else did either. Asking them to just kind of take another look at it. They spoke to Rebecca and maybe Michael from your office today. But I had an initial meeting with them, initial conversation on Monday. I had a site visit with them yesterday, and today they did have some follow-up discussion with Chazen, which that conversation was concluded. So I do have a price from them for $27,680. And they say they can commence work within 15 days from notice to proceed. So I know you were kind of figuring in the 10 to 20 range. sure it's nice.
Yeah.
The number I thought I heard about.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any backup on that. But
yeah. I think that was another problem. Anyway, so we're, this is, you know, there's a caveat. They're still waiting for pricing on the decking. This is based on, you know, their estimate of what their supplier is going to charge them. But either way, you're in the $30,000 range.
Is there any follow up with those who did bid or did not bid to see why they didn't? Maybe the specs weren't clear or what the issue was.
No follow up.
Should we do that, Chris, just to see why they didn't bid, to find out? Maybe the specs aren't clear. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe the material.
That's your prerogative.
It's rare to have zero bids.
I would say it is pretty rare. And you know, the climate now is people are extremely busy, and so it may not have risen to the level of, hey, it's not a large enough job to you know, garner.
A couple of them, they understood that it was, you know, time was of the essence, and you know, they were interested in looking at it, but they probably booked for the next couple of weeks. I mean, and this contractor worth their weight in this day and age is not standing around twiddling their thumbs.
This is off season. It's just an unusual construction season because the weather's good. But
sure.
But I don't think somebody would bite at this, I would think.
Yeah, I think you have the options either to I know it wasn't a large project. You can resolicit, or you can, I don't know what your purchasing practices allow, you know, so if there's a dollar threshold that says, hey, I need.
Well, we put out a formal bid and nobody responded to it, so we've certainly met our requirement.
What was the scope? How was the scope defined? Was it what they
the scope was exactly what Chazen gave us.
There's a plan set with details on it. It's a pretty simple plan. You know, it's not like a bid package per se.
We just rolled it into what we used for our standard terms and conditions and sent it out. So anyway, you have a quote. You know, like I said, they said they can start work within 15 days. You know, I don't know who or what everybody understands that basically 100% of what would be done under the scope would inevitably be undone as part of the actual rehabilitation. So there's that. I mean, how close are you with the full rehab?
We have a package to you.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
what are we looking for? So maybe we park that? Because we'll come to the done warehouse. That's the conversation that we're going to have. Okay.
Is the $27,000 reimbursable under the grant?
Yes.
Essentially.
So why don't I park the action on the temporary curb? So maybe we can just jump into done warehouse, and it's a complex project. Okay, of all the projects. I provided you with a couple of things in advance of the meeting. I apologize, they went out to you on Sunday. One was just this, and I have extra copies of this. This is just a 3-page description of the project from the strategic investment plan. So the strategic investment plan, city made application for funds, city went through a planning process, city made a city consultant, Stantec, put together a funding request. Here's this universal projects. Then, this is a description from that strategic investment plan. I don't know if anybody would like a copy of that. Toss it around. And then city received notice of award for the DRI plan, and that the Dunn Street project was selected. Okay, let's back up. Dunn Warehouse, in 2015, or prior to 2015, the city engaged Saratoga Associates to do a feasibility study. I sent you the executive summary from that feasibility study. And I have copies of that here for people like that. This is a full study. We have it in our Dropbox, so it's accessible if you want the full study. So what that study did is it looked at what was included was a structural analysis that has since been updated. It looked at how to repurpose the site. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, they did a market analysis. They did an examination of a series of different programs on how to repurpose the site. Just for information purposes, you know, the focus was first on stability. Dunn Warehouse is about 5,300 square feet. The feasibility study says, hey, they describe it as kind of three different rooms, we'll say. And that's the north, the south, and the east addition. And the north is the largest of the rooms and the executive summary and the feasibility studies show you these, provide these images of this. And so this north section, south section, and then always, the east addition. And they evaluated a series of alternative ways to reuse the building, okay? And said, hey, probably one or two of these alternatives is feasible from a market and a financial standpoint. And what they looked at is like, how to repurpose this as a combination of retail and restaurant and shopping uses. And the feasibility study looks at, hey, we would divide the north section into three bays. We had a bathroom, we had concrete floors. We would provide, there's an option to actually add a floor at a mezzanine a level. And so there's a series of those alternatives discovered. And then discussed. And then the second option is this, like they use the word, a broadly defined public space that might be a combination of, think, arts incubator, office, museum, cafe, farmer's market, a variety of things that would kind of be publicly programmed or accessible. So that's just the uses. And then the overall cost, stabilization and retrofitting are on the order of $4 million, okay? They identified back in 2015, almost an $800,000 stabilization project. And stabilization meant new roof, the structural things that we've been talking about, how do we stabilize the walls, how do we address the moisture issues, what do we do? And there is an earthen floor in there, and so it was that. And then the $4 million project was actually, basically creating a weathertight shell, bathrooms, and then creating a box, right, that either would be, and it's not clear here, it is completely fitted out so that somebody could lease it, or a box that then could be fitted for some public purpose. So on the order of $4 million. I apologize, a lot of information, but I think we all have this on the same page here. So, and then they also looked at, well, how would we do this? Who is going to own it? So this is what I said on my agenda was, options were sell the building, lease the building, city own the building and perform the improvements and maybe rent it. So if it was a public use, hey, the city wants to have a meeting space or a farmer's market, would the city own it or some other public entity, the Hudson Development Corporation? And then another option was some form of a public-private partnership. Okay? Again, sale or lease of the building, any of these things, when you have a private entity involved, the city is going to want to assure that its objectives are being met, that, hey, the investments are being actually... you take care of that. There's public access. That the end uses really meet the city's community development objectives, and you want to ensure that the investor or the developer is actually a bona fide investor and is credit worthy and is a sound entity. So it talks about that in here, and it goes through two pro formas, meaning. It lays out two different budgets for the two different options for about $4 million. And this is, again, all pre-DRI. And those $4 million budgets relied on a $500,000 SHPO grant, State Historic Preservation Office grant, and historic tax credits. Historic tax credits come from New York State and the feds and can pay for, in each instance, 20% of eligible project costs that are consistent with the state's preservation goals. And so what that means is the site, the building needs to get listed as a historic structure on the state registered and federal registered. There's a process for that. And then all the improvements and renovations need to get reviewed by State Historic Preservation Office. All right? So then there's also, and it doesn't go into great detail, but there is an environmental issue. In addition, we, during our structural evaluation, alerted you to the potential for asbestos and lead, but there it is on a brownfield site. So National Grid or its predecessors have been a series of owners perform environmental cleanup that's been done to the satisfaction of the state. And the question, I think last year we were having, the city was making inquiry to DEC, well, what is the current status of that? What does that mean? I have email exchange from Don Moore and DEC, and I also have copies of the site is subject to deed restrictions and covenants that speak to a review process, and so any development that occurs on that is subject in some form to National Grid and or New York State's review. What they want to make sure is that you're not exposing anybody or future use to the residual environmental contamination. It's largely, you know, elevated volatile organics in groundwater. And DEC's email said, hey, so long as you're not using groundwater, it should be okay. Still subject to the review. And then potentially, it is an earthen floor in there, that there might be the need for what they call
barrier.
Yeah, it's a soil vapor barrier between the concrete floor and the ground. So what that means is, if you've seen these things, it's like a similar device is used when you have radon in your home, and either you create, like, basically think the old French drain. You put a perforated pipe and stone and protective fabric underneath the slab, and you allow the vapor to escape the building and not go into the building, and so you're protecting the inhabitants of the building. So, not a significant thing. We've seen these things done before on pretty large scale and small scale projects. So that's the environmental status, and I'm simplifying this, and I have copies of all this stuff to provide all of you. So that's the environmental status. And so the funding that subsequently came, so there's two funding streams. The first was Empire State Development Restore. So the city applied for and received on the order of $500,000. And this committee in April met with Empire State Development, and there was some back and forth about what were eligible costs. And so the original application went in and said, this is what we're going to do with these dollars. They came back to us in April and informed us at this meeting that, hey, it's actually $431,000 of eligible costs, and there's a 10% equity match, and this is all still subject to further review. So I'm throwing these numbers out to you, not to, you know, blur your understanding of this, but so this $500,000 was for stabilization, and that's the money we've been talking about today. It's like, let's do these old commercial repairs and let's do this building stabilization, all right? And I'll come back to that. The DRI asked for and received an additional $1 million, and so there's roughly $1.5 million for stabilization and retrofit. So when you go back and look at the pro forma that is in the 2015 feasibility study, we have at least $1.5 million when they were looking at $500,000 in grants. So that's a positive. What they said in this document is that the city had initiated listing of the building on the National Register site. I don't know as of this date what that status is, what was transmitted, etc. So that's a follow-up item. We need to figure that out. What is the status of the National Register listing? That segues back to short-term versus long-term improvements. Okay, one, we have a bid package for Rob to review. Okay, I don't know if you've seen that, Rob. There's a package that went out this week or end of last that details the stabilization activities that we had described to you in December and the beginning of this one. That package needs to get reviewed by SHPO. I was not aware of that until preparing for this meeting and digging through the files
the history of the project, in a sense, a complex project.
SHPO.
Preservation. Yes, and so here's the I tell you all this because the timing of the improvements and stabilization, this is what I don't know. Historic tax credits go to a private investor. And so I'm not sure if the grant dollars would, let's just say the overall project cost is $4 million. 20% of $4 million is, help me out,
$800,000,
right? $800,000 again, so two 20% tax credits, so $1.6 million eligible tax credits. It's not clear to me, and we don't do historic tax credit stuff. I have a call into an architect, a partner that does this stuff. It's not clear to me whether the city, can go ahead and spend the $1.5 million towards stabilization, and whether the tax credits would flow back to the overall project cost, or, you know, so we've got to figure out the math, you know, how those things are applied and divided. So what we don't want to do is do those improvements, and then, so $4 million less $1.5 million, so we have a $2.5 million project. Are we going to get 40% of $2.5 million, or are we going to get 40% of $4 million? And it's not me, it's the investor.
I don't see how it could be that. It would have to be the money spent by the investor by basic tax.
It uses a word, and I don't know this, and this is where we need to dig in. And I'm sure there's players. There's an architectural firm that's worked for the city, Thayer.
Lacey
Thayer.
Yeah.
We've worked with them. We're going to talk to them about how does the equation work. I agree with you, Tom. To a point, though, it says eligible. It uses the term eligible expenses. Doesn't say investors' equity, you know, so we need to dig into that before we say, hey, yes, let's go ahead and put a new roof on the building, do the structural repairs, do all this, and we need SHPO to review that. So,
can a private development or someone give us advice on that rather than going to our architect on how those tax credits work? Somebody should be able to.
Yeah, tax lawyer would know it pretty quickly, yeah.
And I think they would do it as a favor to us. But we'll make the inquiry to ESA, right? And I think they're anxious because they need to be brought back in the loop. Where are we with this? So this project was the third priority because of Promenade, and I know ESD was a little bit more rigorous in their feedback to us. How about I say that? That they want the money to be spent. And they also, while the $1 million can come to the city, I think ESD has an opinion about whether we have an investor on board before that money's spent or after it's spent.
I think at least Mike Yeverly made it clear he wouldn't give us a dime until we had a private investor involved.
I think that was the position, and it's not.
Now, whether that's the case or not, you know.
Dumb question. Who owns it right now,
yes.
Or did they city or
HD? Oh, no, city owns it.
City owns
it.
Yeah, it's not one.
Is this
parcel contiguous?
Does it go to the waterfront?
It does not. It's separated by Water Street.
Okay, but the city owns, they own both sides of Water Street, right? Going down to the waterfront?
I have some map.
Yeah.
I think the agency's on the
stone,
it's up to the
river. I think that's the river park.
So city. I guess I'm not sure about this one. The agency.
Well, I'm sure.
Maybe
I tried to do this. This came from the feasibility study. We did the answer.
Which part are you wondering about?
I'm sorry, Cheryl. I didn't catch all that conversation
for a long time. Or something like that.
We have some research to do on ownership.
Okay. What I can do is I can put it together a package or give you the link. So we have a Dropbox, like share file site, where all this information, and I don't think everybody now has a link to that, so I'll re-invite some new members to that. and it's organized by project, and it has whatever records we were given from the city, StanTech, or Department of State. Department of State had a lot of information that wasn't like available in City Hall. But just for the turnover and the number of different consultants, they consolidated all, so we have that, a bunch of that. Includes those deed restrictions. I don't think it has any property survey information, but whatever we have, we'll make sure we have access to it.
I don't think HDC has anything there, because they just did a property assessment of what they own, and there was nothing in that over there. It might be HCDPA, something around that.
Yeah.
We were just sort of speculating on what ESD's guidelines would be in terms of funding. Like, as I guess I would want to see something in writing in terms of guidelines, and you know, maybe they won't do that, and we can have a conversation with ESD offline from them, but I guess I'm hesitant to make a public decision based on sort of like the word is ESD, but all the criteria, it should be making a public decision.
There's meeting notes from our April 2nd meeting with ESD. Mm-hmm. Allison Baxter, Heidi Passo, and Mike Yevely were there. And then I'll make sure you all have it. Then there was this email exchange, because we were concerned about eligible costs, city reimbursement. And ESD is unique, and they give you, like, there's no contract. It's like an offer letter, and then you make a request. Mm-hmm. And then you're not, and then it's all money is returned after you incur the expense. They don't call it reimbursement, but it's after the fact. And so I agree with you. We want greater clarity there. And then there's a 30% MWB mix in all this stuff. However, we parse out how that money is spent, that we need to make sure we satisfy that. So they do say, and this is true with most ESD funds, 10% equity match is required. Administrative expenses are not eligible. It was a 2017 award. That was largely it. I think Mike Yevely was pretty terse in his comments to the city. You know, and I don't know what history there was there, but he was not particularly friendly.
The history was really pretty simple. He was very disappointed that we got the DRI and Sheena left. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Because he was planning on her administering the whole thing.
So I know that's a lot. I don't know how much we're going to resolve today, so there's some follow-up to do. But what I do want to do is at least get some initial feedback on city's approach, because there wasn't clarity back in April, and we've not focused on this project at all today, really. We had a discussion in March and April, but back in April, there wasn't clarity on whether the city wants to be a developer in this instance and own it, or whether the city wants to, seek the interest of an investor, all right? And in a simple way, and I don't share what your experience is, but what we would do, we would put an information package together and say, here's the opportunity, all right? We have a feasibility study. We have a desire to see a mix of retail, or you pick the uses with some latitude. We want to, and here's the funding that we have available for this project. We ask the development community to provide a letter of interest. And the letter of interest would say, provide us some information on your organizational status. What is your corporation, or what are you? Some sense, not at least at this first level, some sense that they're a bona fide entity. It's not some fly-by-night. And then we would have a conversation. We could have a series of conversations. We could invite people, people who are interested, and we need to develop a list of who might those players be, who's constructing mixed-use development, who is constructing retail. And it might not just be Columbia County, Hudson. It might be south of us, or maybe north of us, and I'm focused in the capital district. So, is it the Gillespie Group or Prime Properties, or you heard the name Sonny Bonaccio is doing a lot of stuff in urban areas? Hey, are you interested in buying, leasing, this, and at the end of the day, and the feasibility study says this, is that you're basically going to, the transaction is not going to be a money-making enterprise for the city. And at the end of the day, the city is going to put up this grant money in order to entice a developer to reoccupy the building, and then it creates employment, entertainment, whether it's a restaurant or what have you. And it can either be done through sale or lease. And then you would write, you would go through a negotiation process, a vetting of the enterprise, and then construct a, you know, call it a developer's agreement or some form of an agreement that says, here's what you're going to do, here's your commitment. And there's checks and balances along the way to make sure that the things are actually happening if you go private. Wait, that's the way to go private. Public is a different exercise. It does the Hudson Development Corporation want to do a public-private partnership? You know, like, hey, we're going to put in our $1.5 million. We want you to do this. Limit the risk of the investor. You know, so we don't know what form it's going to take, but that's how the process is going to go. I tell you this, and I can spell it out in a memo to you. Here's the options. But the solicitation process will differ depending on what your end objective is. Hey, we want to sell this property, or we want to lease this property. And we don't need to know all the answers, but we want to spell that out. Hey, say the city is open to this variety of arrangements, and go that route. So I'll stop.
My question, Chris, is how many demands can we put in a, either way, if we go private or lease, how much can we actually request that they comply with? In other words, if we put in too many demands, stipulations, will anybody offer to do it? Especially with the leasing contract. You know, I mean, it's like, we're going to say, you can lease this, but you got to do this, this, and this. Will that significantly decrease who will offer to come in? Or if we sell it, how many? You know, this is the problem that HTC had with their CAS project.
They were asking.
The rehabilitation of the CAS property down by the river. And it's, you know, typical RFP problem. In fact, HCDPA had this problem when they had a small piece of property where they wanted too many units to be put there. And so nobody bid on it, you know? I mean, I think that's where we've got to rely on your guidance.
It's going to depend on the developer. You know, my gut says, you know, you got to be open to all options, right? Because I think it's going to be attractive in one sense, in that you have $1.5 million equity, right? You have you can offer the developer, you know, $800,000 in tax credits. That reduces their cost. That actually reduces their cost. I mean, they're going to spend that money, but they're going to get that on their balance sheet at the end of the day. So now you got $2.2 million. And so are we asking for, you know, how big? So are the costs reduced enough that it becomes a very attractive development, right? And there's a lot going on in Hudson that, you know, the Bridge Street improvements are going to connect this site to the waterfront and to Warren Street. Long-winded answer, Jim. I don't know.
I would say along those lines is that we need to put forward at least some of our values and some of our goals. So, you know, if our goals are to increase jobs, like, we need to be very explicit about that. We're like, if we want to increase jobs, and we want to see a plan that is coherent about how it does that, and we want to see some sort of, we need to have some sort of plan that guarantees those things, if that's our primary objective. And maybe we need to be more specific, not just about jobs, but what kind of jobs. Or if we have some other goals, I do think in some ways, if we're not specific enough, we can end up with some projects that really are not the project we're looking for.
Exactly.
So I agree that if we go too specific, we want this specific kind of business with this specific layout, we might scare everybody off. But I think at some levels we need to be like, this is what we're looking for, and we're going to judge the application based on how well we think they're achieving those things, and we're going to do our best to put in legal guidelines that sort of commit people to those things.
Well, isn't that what the agency did for CAS? Basically asked for interested people to put forth proposals of what they would do with the building, and if they got it,
yeah.
Yeah, Sonny Bonaccio was one of them, actually. Sonny Bonaccio was one of them.
Was one of them?
Yeah.
No, all these companies.
What is CATS? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a former site, industrial site, light industrial site down by the across the street, right over here.
Yeah, so
here.
I think.
Why am I here?
My initial thought is that you don't want to have to create a lot of requirements at this first cut. Like you just want to like, what's the interest? And then you ask them, well, what's your preference? Would it be lease? Would it be sale? Are you predisposed to one of these alternatives? And then if you had three conversations with developers that yes, we do retail. We would do a retail. Or no, we don't do retail. We want to do strictly a restaurant. We think it's a great restaurant, with a public space. And then they get that sense, and then you start in negotiations. And it's not a quick process, though. So, back to the timeline issue that you raised earlier, Mayor.
Do you have a sense of what other cities like Albany may be doing? Do you do this work around?
Yes.
Yep. So, are they leasing? Are they when they own basically waterfront property?
I don't know. We're doing a project in Plattsburgh, and they only got one interest. So they had a three acre waterfront site, and they wanted a mixed use building, and the initial concept was like 40 apartments and 30,000 square feet of retail office space, and at the end of the day, it turned into 115 apartments and 10,000 square feet of office. And so, because that's what the developer did. Hey, we're in the residential business, and that was the way for them to realize a return. It's also a brownfield site. Because there's environmental issues, some entities might say, we don't want to own, we'll lease to protect ourselves.
In our situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they also can't go residential on the site, as I recall.
Right. Unless they seek a change. We've seen these agreements. Typically they don't want to see single family residential this classification. And not that this is in play here, they would allow multifamily so long as it's a single owner, and so that you're managing the residents, you're not allowing them to put, they're not going to put trees in, or the building owner, so they have a single point of contact. But that, I don't think that's in play here at all, because it's just not that building, right? And that's not your objective.
So were you saying that we would put out an invitation for proposals, and we wouldn't at this point decide whether or not we want a public or private model?
Expressions of interest.
And then we would make that decision.
You have a conversation with each of them, they present their ideas, and you kind of kick it around,
right,
and then refine that for you.
So what are the steps that we need to do to sort of have a refined enough?
Yeah, most of it done. They already have that grant. Established, the money that's out there, they're going to know what kind of financing is available to them. They've got the building, all the structurals and everything else, so they know what the site is.
I think there's a couple to-dos. We've got to resolve ownership, right? So we know how I think it is city, everything I read is city owned, so clarify that.
But to Cheryl's point, what maybe yes, maybe not, but if it's a brownfield, there may not be anybody really interested in ownership, even if we were able to sell it, simply because they don't want, they don't want the liability.
Yeah. Well, so I guess what I was trying to get at, Michael, is that the city is not interested in doing the project itself, right? You want an investor to do that? Is that fair?
Well, yeah.
I think we have to. Yeah.
Right?
I think we have a choice. Yeah.
Okay. So that just the change. So what we can do is we can. Kind of prepare an outline of what that expression of interest solicitation would look like and what information it would include, and describe, we're going to describe the work that's been done, the funding that may be available to the developer. We want to follow up on this National Register listing. I don't know the status of that, and I don't know, should the city progress that? I gotta assume the answer is yes, because that 40% tax credit I think any developer would want. Sometimes people don't want to deal with that.
There are two sides to that, right? There's the good side about the tax credits, but then there's the restrictions.
Right.
The historic.
Well, that's what. So the city's already progressed. So I got to believe that the $800,000. You know, I'm just throwing that number out here. That the 40% of the project cost is going to be enough enticement to address that. But I don't know that.
We don't have any authority over any of these conditions anyway. So. Is what it is. What the money is already established. What the conditions are. What is going to be regulated and what's not going to be regulated. You know, we're just in the middle of this stuff.
Chris, is your agency equipped to sort of evaluate the financial dimension of this when we get proposals? In other words, are we getting the maximum benefit for the city with whatever proposal comes in? Because my experience in a more recent one was that no one on the committee involved, not here, had no clue if this was really going to be
beneficial. Whether that's a good deal, is that
exactly.
Reasonable? You know, that's not our core strength. We have a...
ESDC, they're going to have some input and say...
Okay.
Yeah, we can ask their input. We have a partner firm that does that real estate evaluation, that type of work.
Because they're doing it statewide, so they can kind of see what's worked and what hasn't worked. Just give us some guidance, input. Maybe I'll bring in some cookies next time. Put it on us.
Yeah, that would be good. Other questions, comments on this? You know, this.
I mean, it seems like.
No.
I mean, it seems like we all think we should move ahead, and it doesn't sound like there's actually decisions we have to make at this moment in order to move ahead.
Right.
So then let's
move ahead. Proceed with that. You know, so
the
reason we're here is like, hey, we're in a holding pattern on this because the other two were in hold. But so what's going to happen is the other two things are going to ramp up as well. And so I don't just want to put that out there, right? So we're going to have our hands full, ideally, in the next 2 months because you'll have two different consultant teams coming in talking about these two other projects. We will... I think our to-do is to probably connect with ESD, right? And we'll probably do it through the city, so make sure you guys are part of that conversation and speak to where we are. Just give an update. We haven't talked to them in several months, so kind of give them a present and an update. We will work to check on the status of the National Register listing, and I'm going to have to come back to the city because it came from, there's an individual's name that said so-and-so from the city did this, and I don't remember the gentleman's name. And so we'll try to track that down. We'll provide a link to all this information so you guys have access to it. I think we don't want to go to bid at this juncture with the long-term repairs.
No, not if you're going to move forward with the actual private.
Right. Because I think, one, we probably want to put those in front of SHPO and under the presumption that it's eligible for listing and that they're going to pursue listing and that we want their feedback on the plan set. You know, whether these are, whether the improvements are consistent with their guidelines. We could start that process.
Well, where did the eligibility come from anyway? Did somebody do something?
I think early on. So I think whatever inventory might have been done in the past for the city, they'll identify those resources. Hey, because of its age, because of its uniqueness, it's eligible for listing.
Right, so it's eligible. Okay.
Yeah, it is eligible.
It was determined to be eligible in 1985. But it was not included in the Hudson Historic District because the owner at the time objected. So rather than battle that, they just didn't do it. But all of that, you know, all of the information that was put together is still available.
Is that in the CREOS?
I'm sorry?
CREO, is that what that is? What's the online system for SHPO?
Chris.
Yeah,
Chris.
Well, I mean, I got it from Bill Krattinger several years ago.
Yeah, that's whose name here. So Bill Krattinger initiated the...
He started it up again recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would we connect with Bill?
Just email him. It's W Krattinger at You can go to the OPRHP website and find
He's at SHPO. I thought somebody at the city. It says,
no.
This was initiated with the assistance from Bill Krattinger of New York State SHPO. Okay. So we'll reach out to him and say, well, what's been provided to you? What needs to take place next? And dig into that a little. Okay. What else did we just say? We'll begin an outline for this. And then, you know, maybe our next meeting will come back with, hey, here's what we think goes into the request for expression of interest.
And we have a meeting scheduled with ESD in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you do?
So if you're not able to get that.
Oh, okay. Do you know when?
Early February.
And you know, is for what purpose?
Mid February. I guess it's a check in, but
yeah,
about
early February.
Yeah, next. I think it's next week or week after, maybe. I'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, let us know, and just tag team on that. They're asking for other feedback on other.
I think they just want to check in about a bunch of stuff. So.
Okay.
And then we need to decide something about the short term.
Closing the hole in the roof.
I mean, we're closing.
Coming back to that. Thanks. Yep.
Well, he just emailed me his. It was just an estimate for the 16-gauge steel, and that's he just raised it by another $5,600, so now it's $33,000.
I think you review why they didn't bid, and then you do a quick review.
I'll consult with.
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
You can get it done in 2 weeks. You can do a rebid in 2 weeks. Just need to find out why they didn't. What's the issue?
I'll send you a list. You can go on. Yeah. I mean, I know most of them are busy. You know, it's this part of the country is there's a lot of action going on.
Okay. It's not a unique roofing material, is it? It's not.
No, I think it's a pretty. Special. I thought it was a pretty simple solution to a.
Well, he says the roofing guy says that it's what he was quoted was almost $9,000 just for that chunk of steel.
Because it's a span particular
so,
length, yeah.
But
why don't you send that pricing to Rebecca, and then we'll.
I don't know if you can look at it also.
We'll bump it back in.
So I guess one of the things. So Bridge Street contract review. We're gonna do, and then New York Bush for on the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then okay, and you're gonna contact EDC about tax issues and price.
Say again?
You're contacting EDC about the tax issues, right?
ESD, yeah.
And
yeah.
Sorry, I got this language.
Yep.
So,
or two.
In the next meeting, so I think we had said the second and fourth Wednesdays, and that no longer works. Rob, because those are now the DPW meetings. It's weird.
I think I sent invites for first and third.
Which is what we want. Well, I just want to clarify.
Yeah, I was
totally.
I was, my head was spinning just a little bit for a second.
I just want to clarify with the rest of the committee if that works, first and third, and then I guess to let the audience know as well. If that will be updated.
Yeah.
But I think we're okay with the first and third in general, but you can't do the next third, right?
Which is the 19th of February.
So,
yes.
The 20th.
Yes.
So we don't. I don't think we want to meet the first because that's next week, right? And I can't do the third.
2:20 is good.
And so did we bump it to the following day? Is that what we did? Did we go to the 20th? That's what you just said. I apologize. I'm repeating myself.
Right. So the next meeting would be the
20th.
We'll do the 20th.
So Thursday. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. And what we'll have for you? We'll closure, hopefully, on these inquiries. We'll provide any feedback in the interim so that you can take action.
What did you want to do?
We did the step two.
I think Chris is saying that we won't be ready for the
next week. It's next week. I don't know whether there's
okay.
Some
okay. So 20 does not work. How about the
8th?
Okay. Well, what about the, are you 18th?
18th is fine.
Because you had said you could do the 18th or the 20th, I think.
Is that what it was?
I'm not sure if you still can.
Yeah. 18th, Tuesday.
excuse me.
That's doable. Where it's an association of towns, the mean in New York City. I leave, if I catch the train, I can get here by 2:30.
Which is 3 o'clock.
Okay.
The 18th at 3 o'clock.
Correct. The 5th is canceled. We're going to move the 19th to the 18th at 3 o'clock.
And then we'll go back on the
4th. And we'll be back on to the 1st and 3rd in the following month. But we'll schedule that for next meeting.
Okay.
And then should we take some comments from the public? Public has anything to say?
I just have a question on the posting of documents. Is it now the case that the former site, hudsondri.org, to which there was a link from the city site, is now closed down?
That was the old CEDC site, I think. We moved everything to the city's website.
And so from now on, all documents from this body will be posted on the city DRI page?
Correct.
And that will include more than just agendas and minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to include the 2019 report, for example.
Correct.
It may include other such documents besides just the missing agenda. And basically, Mr. Shimides is maintaining the DRI page on the city site.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else?